Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends, on this Tuesday. What value do you place on true, God-honoring wisdom? How do you describe wisdom? Who is the wisest person you know? What helps a person become wise? Today in our journey through God's grand narrative, let's look closely at how King Solomon received his unusual wisdom, what difference it made in his life, and in his role as King of Israel. Following the successful transition of leadership from King David to his son Solomon, which we have looked at in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and 29, David died and was honored by the people of Israel. With David gone, the full weight of the kingship fell upon Solomon, and he sought God's help by going to Gibeon, the place where the tabernacle was located at that time, according to 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 4. There, Solomon worshipped with an extreme sacrificial offering of 1,000 sacrifices on the great altar. I believe that extravagance was not as much a reflection of Solomon's kingly wealth as it was Solomon's desperation to be fully aligned with the heart of God as he assumed responsibility to govern God's people Israel. It causes me to ask, what value do I place in having my heart fully aligned with God's heart? And how do I accomplish that? In response to the genuineness of Solomon's worship, God did something exceedingly rare. God appeared to Solomon in a dream and offered to bless Solomon with whatever he requested of God. In our world of lotteries and wishful thinking, I wonder what you would ask of God if you were given this same opportunity. Solomon's words are very significant. Now, Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? 1 Kings chapter 3. What do you hear in Solomon's request and his acknowledgement of his inadequacy in the face of the demands of the kingship of Israel? Have you discovered how God is always attracted to honest humility, but God is repulsed by pride? I'm confident Solomon knew it was his father David's tender, pure heart which God was attracted to when God selected David to become king of Israel. Solomon, up until that time, was guarding his heart well and asked God humbly for wisdom and discernment to govern Israel. God's response is very significant. Since you have asked for wisdom and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, and if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands, I will give you a long life. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 10 to 14. Now, friends, never before or since has God poured out such a promise upon one man, so please don't rush by this divine commitment. Look carefully at what God promised to pour out on Solomon and why. What do you see? What does it teach us about God and his desire to bless people with certain attitudes and attributes whom he knows will honor God with the blessing they receive from God? As you may know, Solomon authored three books in the Bible: the Book of Wisdom, Proverbs, the Book of Reflection, Ecclesiastes, and the love story, Song of Solomon. This one statement, found in 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 23 and 24, summarizes what no other human being has ever achieved. King Solomon was greater in riches and wisdom than all the other kings of the earth. The whole world sought audience with Solomon to hear the wisdom God had put in his heart. King Solomon returned from his encounter with God in Gibeon to his palace in Jerusalem, and it began to reign. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 16 to 27 records one of the first difficult cases brought to King Solomon, requiring the wisdom of God. Two women claim to be mother to the same child. I urge you to read carefully through that remarkable story, but before you read Solomon's verdict, I urge you to write down on a piece of paper what you would have given as your solution to the impossible to solve that problem. As word spread of Solomon's solution, these words describe a new euphoria which swept over the people of Israel. When all Israel heard the verdict King Solomon had given, they held the king in awe because they saw that he had wisdom from God to administer justice. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 28. Now pause for a moment and consider your attitudes toward the city officials where you live or the national leaders of your country. What if you and I could stand in awe of the leaders whose authority touches our lives because we saw the evidence that they have wisdom from God to administer justice? Now, what about your wisdom and mine, my friends? Who or what is the source of our wisdom? How do we nurture and grow our wisdom? And how do we protect it? What are we teaching our children and grandchildren about wisdom? Solomon wrote this, "Rebuke the wise, and they will love you. Instruct the wise, and they will be wiser still. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Proverbs chapter 9. May I challenge you with something I learned a very long time ago? Attempt to read one chapter of the wisdom book, the book of Proverbs, each day, perhaps aligning it with the date on the calendar. You will gain great wisdom, and you'll never regret it, especially if you pray before beginning your reading each day, asking God to open your mind and heart to God's wisdom instruction.